Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the ball!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoins, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est le bon, c'est fini! Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Salut pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Wednesday, March 6th. It's a real exciting time in the National Hockey League because the NHL trade deadline is on Friday, March 8th. And speaking of which, there have been many trades today, and we're going to get to them in just a minute. Because of work purposes, exceptionally, and not exceptionally, I mean, it happens from time to time, but not most of the time, we are not taping this live. We are not going live right now. We're actually taping this at around 2:15 p.m. Eastern time. I want to reassure you, of course, that we will once again be live tomorrow night, right after the Montreal Canadiens visit the Carolina Hurricanes. And we will also be live at 10 p.m. Eastern on Friday, trade deadline day. And I will be in for that, okay? But once again, exceptionally, because of work here, everyone's very, very busy with the trade deadline going on, different obligations. We're going a little bit earlier, at around 2:15 p.m. Eastern. Not before I talk to you about Energy Transportation Group, recently named by Deloitte and CIBC as one of Canada's best managed companies, the country's leading business award recognizing innovative and world-class companies, the best managed Canadian companies designation, fuels Energy's purpose of creating progress for their customers, their employees, and their communities. Join a winning team and check out Energy's career page for available opportunities. Also brought to you in part by La Bitte TB, brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards. La Bitte TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bitte TB, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground. Playground, this Friday, March 8th, the world's most dangerous tribute to the music of the Rolling Stones returns to Playground after almost 5 years to test a new roof. Get ready for the Blushing Brides style of Casino Boogie. They hit the stage at 8:30 p.m. and on Saturday night, do not miss the dynamic, groovy, and energetic Off the Wall. They will keep you dancing all night long. Playground, just over the Mercier Bridge. Visit playground.ca for details. Also brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solutions, where you know that all insurance isn't created equal, and you know where to find the right insurance solution for you. Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop it for you to find the right product right on the money. Whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business, call the Accent team today at 514-363-3636 and get the right solution for you at the right price. Visit their website at accentassurance.com. We do have another partner and another sponsor, but every time I've done this read, it's provided a chuckle from those who are on the other end. Let's bring in Craig Button of TSN, tsn.ca. He's their hockey analyst and their director of scouting. Craig, good afternoon. And I want to let you know that the Sick Podcast today is also brought to you in part by Manscaped. So top of the afternoon to you, top of the evening to you all. The episode is brought to you by the St. Patrick's Day Shamrock Shavers Manscaped. this year, don't just chase rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders in Below the Kilt Care. Say goodbye, Craig Forrest, to your Clover Forest. Say goodbye, Craig Button, to your Clover Forest with Manscapes Lawnmower 5.0 and let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use code Montreal for 20% off and free shipping. That's 20% off and free shipping with code Montreal at manscaped.com. So, Craig Button, good afternoon. And once again, if you want to take extra care of your leprechaun, trust Manscaped, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. I've never seen you blush before, Craig.
Well, no, I'm laughing because I'm thinking I want a four-leaf clover. I don't want a shamrock. I want a four-leaf clover. That's I mean, St. Patrick's Day, the pot of gold. Everybody wants the four-leaf clover. That's what I'm looking for.
It's a very busy time for all of us members of the media. I know that for the first time ever, actually, after over 20 years in the business, I'm going to be on TV covering the event. I'll be on TVA Sports, and I think our coverage is starting around 8 o'clock in the morning, I think. So it's going to be a morning, afternoon, and night. You're used to this by now. You've been doing this for many, many years. Craig, although there's going to be a lot of people who know how to talk in studio and could do it for days nonstop, I have to tell you, all these trades that are coming in today, I'm like, no, save it for tomorrow.
Well, what I would say to you, Tony, is that there's a captive audience at this time of the year, fans of the respective teams, you know, excited about what their team could do, what their team has done, what they wish their team may have done, and as we push to the playoffs. And even teams that aren't in the playoffs, you know, what are they getting in return? You know, we saw the Montreal Canadiens get a first-round draft pick for Sean Monahan. You think about a fit for the Winnipeg Jets. You think about a great return for the Montreal Canadiens. You know, what does that mean? Now you can start talking about the draft. Okay, who could they use to get that pick? And certainly, when you have such a captive audience, such a passionate audience, you, as much as you can talk, you will not run out of things to talk about. Nor will I, nor will any of us. And I think that we'd all love to be reporting on, oh, big breaking trade here, big breaking trade there. There's going to be trades. We're going to have such an opportunity to talk about what it means and offer those different perspectives and tap into different experiences of people that, like, you know, what was it like when you were in the dressing room and you heard about this trade and all those things and taking those stories to the viewers and the listeners. You have so much of that, and you'll bring that to life on TVR Sport on Friday.
You're right about that. We'll always find things to talk about. You know, TSN ran sports coverage at a time where there was the COVID pandemic and all sports were halted. I was hosting a 3-hour sports radio show. I look back at those moments today and I'm like, how did I talk about sports for 3 hours when sports was on hold for like 4 months or whatever it was back then? Like, I don't even know how we did it.
You know how you did it? You did it because you have a great knowledge of sports. You have a great passion for sports. And people during that time are looking for things that, and quite frankly, that weren't distressing. And there was a lot of stress in the world, you know, with the COVID pandemic. And so what you were able to bring to the viewer and the listener is something that was really important and necessary. You know, people might say, well, it's a necessary distraction. What it was an opportunity to let people know that our lives will go on. We're without sports right now, but we can talk about it. We can talk about and the season, the NHL season. I'll just talk about the NHL season. We had played 68, 70 games at that point in time. So we had, imagine if it would have happened at the beginning of the year where we didn't have a basis to talk about that year. So we had a lot of material. And I think that, you know, people that weren't working, and you think about the world was shut down. They were tuning in to hear Tony Marinaro. They were tuning into TV to hear different perspectives. And we provided that And it was a really important time.
All right. Thanks so much for that. I appreciate it, Craig. All the kind words. So kind and so nice. We have Shane Gaumont at Master Control today. Let's bring him into the program fast. Let's see if we can do that. Shane, are you there? If so, why don't you pop in?
Here we go.
There he is.
All right, there we go. There's Shane. Look at that.
You probably weren't expecting it. But listen, I mentioned earlier that, of course, we're recording earlier in the afternoon. So several trades have happened already, which we're going to get to. There will be others to come. And Shane, you will fill us in the moment there are more. Craig?
I just want to say this. Like, Tony, come on. We got to introduce Shane the proper way. He is our trade breaker here today on the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro. He's our trade breaker.
Yeah.
This is we're going to make a star out of Shane as the key, the deal. He's telling everybody what's happening. Tony and I will weigh in a little bit.
Let's do it.
But Shane, you're on the clock. Let's go.
Shane, with the best job. Shane, yep. Hold on a second. Get back off air so I can properly introduce you.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen around the world, kids of all ages, introducing the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro's Trade Breaker on this less than 48 hours away from NHL trade deadline day. Here we are on the Sick Podcast. My guest joining me is Craig Button. With pleasure, Craig and I introduce to you Shane, the scooper. Gomo.
I get to go to sleep happy tonight. That was beautiful, Tony. That was beautiful.
The scooper? I don't know where that came from.
Scooper?
The scooper.
Better than what Grant McHagg calls me, that's for sure.
Well, it's better to be a scooper than a pooper, I guess. Hey, the look at the bright side. All right.
Shane. I'll come back when there's a trade, my friend.
Okay, so why don't you do this? Come back when there's a trade, but Craig and I will talk about some of the trades that have already gone down and already happened, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, so why don't you bring them up? There you have it. Ottawa trades Tarasenko to the Florida Panthers in return for a 2024 fourth-round pick, which becomes a third-round pick if the Panthers win the Cup, and a third-round pick in 2025. Ottawa retains 50% of the salary on Tarasenko in this deal. Craig, let's keep it up here if we can. I know there's members of the fan base, of the Senators fan base, who are a little disappointed thinking that the Ottawa Senators could have got more for Tarasenko. Your thoughts?
Well, so my thoughts are this, is that the Vladimir Tarasenko had a full no trade clause in his contract. So he could determine where he wanted to go and whether that was one team, whether it was 10 teams or whatnot. So it's great to talk about what we think they could have got. But at the same time, it's an expiring contract, an unrestricted free agent. And Vladimir Tarasenko had big say into where he would go. And so certainly, you know, you get your hopes up, you get your desires up if you're the team. Well, what could we get here? What could we do? But now you run into reality, and reality says that, okay, this is where Vladimir Tarasenko is going to go. A team is willing to pay a price that is asset-based. We know it's asset-based. They're asked to retain some salary. You know, again, when you're looking at your marketplace and you start to say, okay, how narrow is it? Then you try to make your best deal. And I think for the Ottawa Senators, this reflects that. Steve Staios is right on top of things. I think for the Florida Panthers, I think it's a great trade. I mean, Vladimir Tarasenko has played so well for the Ottawa Senators this season. And I think fitting in on a Florida team that's functioning at a high level, I mean, we know what Reinhardt is doing. We know what Carter Verhaeghe is doing. We know how good Barkov is. I really think that this gives them some real good scoring, what I would call insulation. And I think it'll help Lundell and Sammy Bennett, who are really good two-way players. They play such a strong game. That'll support Tarasenko. Tarasenko's offense will support them. So I see this as a scenario where, despite expectations sometimes being a little bit higher, or, and even unrealistic at times, I think that you have to understand what the parameters that an NHL team, certainly in this case with the no trade clause that Tarasenko has, what they were capable of doing, and probably more importantly, what was unattainable.
Tarasenko, who thus far this season in 57 games has 41 points for the Ottawa Senators, that's not too shabby, and is a plus 13 player on a team that has their share of minuses. Think about this, Craig Button. The Florida Panthers' top two lines right now, Barkov in between Reinhart and Verhaeghe, Bennett in between Matthew Tkachuk and Vladimir Tarasenko. That's a deadly top six, Craig.
I would say so. I would say that it can give you a lot of help. And so, even like, you know, Sammy Bennett, who plays a hard two-way game, we know what Matthew is. And now Vladimir Tarasenko, who's won a Stanley Cup in 2019 with St. Louis, has been a good player for Ottawa. He just slides in. He slides into a team that is really performing well. He doesn't have to come in and be something that he isn't. He doesn't have to come in and give them something they don't have. He just strengthens an already strong team. When I look at the East, and it's really clear for me, I have Florida draw a line right underneath them as the top team in the East. And I think that this just makes that line a little bit bolder.
There's been other trades, and some of them have been really something. Go ahead, Shane. Edmonton sends a first rounder this year to Anaheim for Henrik and Carrick, plus another later conditional pick. Edmonton getting deeper. I mean, Adam Henrik is a guy who can play center. He can play wing. When teams were talking about the centermen that were available, of course, Elias Lindholm was number one, and he got traded several weeks ago from Calgary to Vancouver. Montreal had Sean Monahan, who was traded to the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, number two or number three was Adam Henrik. He's now an Edmonton Oiler. Your thoughts, if Adam Henrik is enough to put the Oilers over the top? It doesn't seem to me like they addressed the areas they should have addressed.
Well, I mean, I guess we can debate and discuss, and we can get into that in a minute. But I'll talk about what Henrik adds to this team. I think that Adam Henrik, I think that they, for me, adding some weight and some skill and into their bottom group of forwards. And wherever that is, if you're pushing a Warren Fogle down and you're allowing Adam Henrik to move up a little bit, that makes you deeper through your forward group. I think they needed to be deeper. I think they needed to be heavier and a little more skill, a little more speed in different areas. Adam Henrik doesn't address all those areas, but I think it's a real significant addition to them. Sam Carrick's a really hard-nosed, good penalty killer, and he's got speed and he's quick. You know, when I start to think, Derek Ryan's been a really good functional player. He's light. He's a light player. And when you get into the playoffs, it's about who can go the hardest, the longest. I think that, you know, you can spot Derek Ryan in, but now you have Sam Carrick, depending on who you're playing against, spotting Derek Ryan in with games off and putting Carrick in there, I think gives them a lot more depth up front. And I think it makes them stronger up front. So I really think it's a real good, strong deal. Now, I look at the Edmonton Oilers. They've played 60 games this year. 60 games. They're on another heater. They've won their last five in a row, the great comeback win against Boston on Tuesday night. They've given up 7 goals in those 5 games, or 5-0, after a stretch where they gave up 42 in 10 games. They have played 40 games at the upper elite level of the NHL in every regard. Goaltending, defense, offense, and winning. 40 games. 20 games haven't been so good. They have clearly shown to me that they can be a team playing the 40 games that can compete seriously for a Stanley Cup. And so when you have that evidence, you're Ken Holland, you're Chris Knobloch, you have that evidence, now you say, okay, how can we be a little bit stronger? They're going to have to be committed defensively. They have shown when they're committed defensively that they are a formidable opponent. And so, yeah, we all get greedy and we all look at what you would like a little bit more, whatever you'd want to do. 40 games at the upper echelon of elite in the National Hockey League. That's half a season. That's a pretty good body of work.
Leon Draisaitl, of course, now is playing left wing with Connor McDavid at center and Zach Hyman on your right. Draisaitl has played a lot in his career at center as well. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is your second-line centerman with Evander Kane and Matthias Janmark. What do you think is going to happen with Henrik? Where do you think he slots in? Third-line centerman?
Henrik goes, no, well, he, well, see, what you've just described there, what I call lineup flexibility. So we know that McDavid and Draisaitl, you can put them together. We know how great they are, right? But Ryan Nugent-Hopkins playing with McDavid and Hyman was great too. And Draisaitl in the middle. Here's the key thing. Janmark pushes back now. I don't think there's any question Janmark pushes back down the lineup, which is he should be deeper down the lineup. He's not a second-line player. He's not going to help your second line. And
you're right.
So now if you put Draisaitl back in the middle, or you leave, you can put Nuge on the wing. You can put Nuge anywhere. Now you can put Henrik on the wing, put Henrik in the middle. Now your third line. Now you got McLeod. You got Corey Perry. You got Fogle. You know, you got Holloway a little bit deeper in the lineup. You got Janmark. You got Carrick. Now you're deeper. Now you're heavier. Now you're able to do a lot of different things. I said Corey Perry on the second line with McLeod and Fogle. Now it gives the coach so many different opportunities to look at who he's matched up against, put players in different scenarios. And when you have that type of flexibility within your lineup, you can say, oh, good, they can't handle McDavid and Draisaitl. Or I'm going to go three deep, or I'm going to put Henrik here. That's the type of trade that Adam Henrik adds to your team. That's the type of trade that gives your team greater strength and greater flex. And I think lineup flex is really important come playoff time. I think Ken Holland just went and addressed that.
All right. Other deals. Shane? The Buffalo Sabres trading Casey Mittelstadt to the Colorado Avalanche for defenseman Bowen Byram. We heard Mittelstadt's name at times this season. He's a skilled centerman. He's got really good hands. They probably wanted him to produce a little bit more. Maybe they're trying to address other areas of their team, obviously, because they already like what they have at the center position with Cousins and with Tage Thompson. But Bowen Byram, as good as he is, Craig, he's had some pretty serious concussion problems, has he not?
Yeah, he has. There's no question about it. When you think about Bowen, I got to tell you, I've watched Bowen play since he was 14 years of age, and I think he's got qualities that are special. Now, being able to play and remain injury-free are all challenges for any player, but certainly one that's had some of the issues that Bowen has had. And when I say issues, it's had some of the injuries that he's had. You start to evaluate that. This is a big-time trade. Make no mistake about it. This is a big-time trade. Young center for young defender. Now, when you look at the Colorado Avalanche, I'm going to take this from the Colorado Avalanche side of things. They got the best defenseman in the league, in my view, in Cale Makar. He's brilliant. His partner, Devon Toews, they got those guys tied up long-term. They really do. You have Josh Manson tied up, so he adds a different element. Sam Girard, who's fit in there really nicely. To have a second-line center, you're asking Casey Mittelstadt to come in now and just be a player that can give you really good second-line minutes behind the great Nathan MacKinnon. So I think it's a perfect fit for Casey. I think it's a great fit for the Colorado Avalanche. I don't think they lose anything. Like with respect to, they pick up Sean Walker on the short term to play on the blue line. So that's the immediate part. Ryan Johansson, who they picked up, and Nashville picked up salary on that deal, half his salary, still has a year left on his contract. He just wasn't able to provide to the Colorado Avalanche what they were looking for. So getting Casey in there playing behind, he's quick, he's fast, he can make plays. I think that really helps the Colorado Avalanche. Switching over to the Buffalo Sabres, you mentioned.
Yeah.
You got Tage Thompson, you got Dylan Cousins. They have a really, what I would call an outstanding group of young prospects, especially up front. You know, earlier in the year, we talked about, you know, looking somewhere. Like if you wanted to look to Buffalo to add to their team, I think we were talking about Jake Allen. You could talk about some of the problems because they're not all going to play for Buffalo. So I think that they looked at it and said, okay, where do we solidify our blue line? They have Dahlin. They have Power tied up long term. They have Matias Samuelsson tied up long term. Bowen Byram now, a healthy Bowen Byram, that's a big-time blue line in Buffalo. And I think that sometimes you got to be bold, but you can be a little bit more bold when you know that you have a prospect pool that's really good, that you have two players on your team, Cousins and Thompson, that are tied up long-term that you trust and that you can do it. Hey, Casey Mittelstadt was a high draft pick. He came in there. He's played really well this year. It seems to me to be a trade that really fits the needs of both organizations here.
It really
and
does.
I think the key, doesn't it, Tony?
Yeah. You know, when they say the trades, you know, the trades, everyone, the best trades are the ones where both teams win and they address their needs. But 47 points in 62 games in Buffalo for 25-year-old centerman Casey Mittelstadt. Craig, I think he's going to explode in Colorado. Like, he's RFA at the end of the year. They're going to get this guy signed up for at least, you know, several years, I would think. I think this guy is really going to – what he didn't – I think he's going to flourish in Colorado. I really do. Now, what's his – he had 59 points a year ago. I think you'll start to see him get points in the 60s in Colorado. I really believe that.
Which is maybe ideal, right? And you know, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that take in any way. You know, Nazem Kadri went there and put up a career year. They won the Stanley Cup. He was so key to what they were doing. And, I mean, he's been great in Calgary, you know, this year since after the first 10 games. When they lost Kadri, they've been looking to replace Kadri in that second-line center spot in Colorado. They weren't able to do it last year. They tried with Johansson. It didn't work to their satisfaction. I think they got an excellent fit. Because it's not just what Casey brings on the ice. The age fits. Getting a contract fit in there right now. So, you know, McKinnon is on the big contract, and as he should be. And now you need support behind those players. I think the third line, when you talk about Miles Wood, Ross Colton, and Logan O'Connor, that's an excellent third line. Landeskog comes back. What does that mean? Nichushkin comes back healthy. This is a pretty deep Colorado Avalanche team. And taking some of the scoring pressure off of Nathan McKinnon and off of Rantanen, I think really helps everybody. And it will help mostly Casey Mittelstadt. Putting up the points that he did in Buffalo, he's going to get more opportunity. He's not going to have the hard matchups that he may have had in Buffalo. I think this is just a fantastic move for the Colorado Avalanche. But I want to emphasize, and keep this in mind too, they have Callum Ritchie, who they drafted 27th or 28th last year in the NHL draft, 27th, I believe. Callum Ritchie's a stud. He's a big, skilled player. I think he might be able to play as soon as next year. He can play center. He can play right wing. This Colorado Avalanche team is pushing forward. They're pushing forward to be contenders.
You know, you brought up Sean Walker's name. And you know, not everyone there knows a lot about Sean Walker's game. And I just came across something really interesting in terms of stats. Sean Walker, hold on, I have it here. Here we go. This coming from Mike Kelly, who's with the NHL Network, and he's a director of analytics and insights at SportLogic. I like following Mike's tweets very much. Sean Walker to Colorado makes all the sense in the world, he says. Transitions the puck well. Great as a fourth man up in the rush. Second in the league to Makar in rush chances. Tied for first with Byram for rush goals by defensemen. Great defensive stick, wins puck battles, and good at killing entries. Higher turnover. But those are some interesting stats. Second in the league to Makar in rush chances, tied for first with Byram for rush goals by D.
Okay, so let's just take this in like it's an entirety, right? So you get Mittelstadt, which is a great second line addition for the Colorado Avalanche. You know, trading Bowen Byram, that's a really good player. Colorado knows how good he is. And then you're looking now you read those numbers by Sean Walker. Number one, that's the way Colorado plays. They play transition. They want their if the defender is the first guy available for the breakout, you're the breakout guy. It's not like you're looking for the winger. You're going. And then you start to put it and juxtapose it next to what Bo and Byram. So essentially, they have taken a left shot, Bo and Byram, and replaced them with a right shot, Sean Walker. what it appears is no loss of productivity on the blue line with the addition of Sean Walker and a massive upgrade at the second line center position. Pretty shrewd.
Big head hockey on Twitter. Casey Mittelstadt this season. Craig, get ready for this. 62 games, 14 goals. His 47 points, first on Buffalo. His plus 12, first on Buffalo. His 34 points at 5v5, 24th in the NHL. And his 2.28 5v5 points per 60, 14th in Sabres history. And Big Head Hockey adds, Colorado just got this guy in a one-for-one trade. I like Bo and Byram a lot, but it's a big if he can stay healthy. Man, I think Colorado really got a young stud here. I think they really got a young stud.
They did. And again, so you look at all those 5v5 points and stats, right? Like Casey, that is going to be a second power play option, and maybe that's only 30 seconds. Right? We know who the top power play is in Colorado. So the fact now that you can contribute at that rate 5v5 is so important for keeping your team strong and having somebody that can contribute in that area. Significant move. And listen, I talked about Bo and Byram. I love Bo and Byram. I love the way he plays. I wish nothing but full health for the next 15 years for Bo and Byram. And if that's the case, this will be a trade that will work out great for Buffalo. And certainly I don't have any doubts that can be the case. And it will work out great for the Colorado Avalanche. You talk about win-win. You talk about everybody getting what they need. I think that this is a scenario that provides exactly that.
All right. Shane, do we have any more that you can bring up? If not, join us and let us know. Okay, we talked about that. The Colorado Avalanche have acquired Sean Walker from the Philadelphia Flyers in exchange for a first-round pick and Ryan Johansson. Okay, and Johansson, I believe, cleared waivers, and I think he's going down to the AHL, if memory serves me well, all right? Also, Shane, I just sent you something coming in. Frank Saravalli has actually just posted something, if we can actually bring that up. I don't know if we can bring it up that soon, the second I sent it to you, if you can bring it up, but Shane is very, very good at what he does. Let's see.
Maybe we got to see Shane's face. Maybe we got to bring up the scooper, the Le Scooper.
Yeah, let's, or maybe, okay. He says, give him a second. All right. Okay. So give him a second. He's going to bring it up. But Frank Saravalli actually just outlining the details, all the details of the Adam Henrique trade to the Edmonton Oilers. And we'll get to that in just a second. All right. In the meantime, I guess we could talk about...
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put you now. Sure. I'm the questioner. So we were talking about Edmonton a little bit earlier. And, you know, and I went to the angle of what Adam Henrique added and where I thought it would help their team. And you had some thoughts about maybe not addressing some of their more pressing needs. So I'll ask you, where would you like to see the Edmonton Oilers... You know, maybe move. What direction would you like to see them with respect to an acquisition?
Okay, so I'll tell you, I have a very solid opinion on this. Take a look at their D: Ekholm, Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse, and Vincent Desharnais, Brett Kulak, and Cody Ceci. Right? I think they need to add. In an ideal world, in a non-ideal world, they need to add a second pairing defenseman and bring Vincent Desharnais down to the third pairing. In an ideal world, they add a first pairing defenseman and everyone goes down a notch. And I would, you know, I would think if they can add a first pairing right-handed defenseman to play with Ekholm, then Bouchard goes down to play with Nurse, and then Desharnais goes down to play with Kulak. I think that's what they really need. What do you think?
Yeah, well, no, and I think that you use the word ideal. So ideal comes into play. And teams are always looking at what's our ideal scenario. And then you get out and you go, okay, who fits that bill? You know, and people go, well, you're not getting a number one defenseman. Okay, fair enough. We can say that. I could easily say that. I'm going to go back to the Colorado Avalanche. So the Colorado Avalanche, a couple summers ago, traded for Devon Toews. I think they gave up 2 second-round picks. I think that's all they gave up, 2 second-round picks for Devon Toews. Devon Toews is a number one defenseman. So, yeah, when people think number one defenseman, they think the obvious names. Nobody would have said Devon Toews was that guy when they acquired him. So to your point, Tony, and this is where I'm supporting you, it's about being creative. It's about looking and saying, okay, who's out there? Who's the Devon Toews out there that we can go and get for a couple of draft picks or a prospect and a draft pick and that can play in our top pair? They can do the things that are necessary. Devon Toews has been instrumental to the Colorado Avalanche's success and Cale Makar's success.
Amazing.
And that's what you're talking about. So that's where you got to go and look. That's where managers earn their money and scouts by saying, this is the guy we go and get. So Brad Smith, who's a dear friend of mine, has been with the Colorado Avalanche for years, Motor City. He is wired in watching players, and he's not afraid to say, go and get this guy. So they go and get Devon Toews. That's what other scouting departments have to do. Don't identify the obvious guy and go, well, you're not going to get, Mo Sider. Well, no kidding you're not getting Mo Sider. No kidding you're not getting, you're not getting Josh Morrissey. Who's the Devon Toews out there? That's where you go and find value. That's where you mine gold. So I agree with you.
And you know what? What a bad move that turned out to be for the New York Islanders, who acquired a second round pick in 21 and a second round pick in 22 for Devon Toews, who's been with the Colorado Avalanche now for the last 4 years, has picked up 31 points in 53 games, 57 points in 66 games, 50 points in 80 games, 36 points in 63 games. And you were talking about your friend of yours, Brad Smith, you said. Well, he probably saw Devon Toews play with the Islanders. When he picked up those 28 points in 68 games, that was back in 2019. He probably said, you know what? 25-year-old defenseman hasn't entered the prime of his career yet. Just starting to scratch the surface. Is starting to show an ability to have some offensive instincts, put up points, carry the puck. Man, that's a great move by him. I hope he got a raise at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I bring up Motor City because he's overseeing reserves of scouting, pro scouting, all different parts of it. It's a group there. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to dismiss anybody else that's been a part of it.
Of course.
That's the essence of scouting. It's like, tell me who the diamond in the rough is. Tell me who you're not trading Bo and Byram for. Like a guy in the minors. You're trading 2 second-round draft picks for Devon Toews, who they went to the conference final in with the New York Islanders with Devon Toews on their blue line. Like, it wasn't like they didn't know what they had. It came down to money. Colorado took full advantage. There's teams, because of their salary cap situation, where you can go and explore opportunities to get players like that. Yeah, no kidding. You're not getting the identified number one defender. But there's also another layer to this, Tony, that's really important, and you pointed it out. It takes other players down. It pushes them down. Ken Hitchcock always used to talk about scaling players too high up in the lineup. Well, now when you get them into their proper slots, now they can just – play to their capabilities at on a consistent, steady level. That's what it also does. So there's extensions to getting that type of a player.
Yeah, let's take a look at the Frank Saravalli tweet if we can. Okay, here we go. Trade call to Oilers, Adam Henrique, 75% retained. Sam Carrick, 7th-round pick to the NHL Ducks. Edmonton's 2024 first-round pick, a conditional 2025 fifth-round pick to the Bolts. Edmonton's 4th-round pick is conditional 5th, becomes a 4th in Edmonton if they win the Cup. Tampa also must send a reserve list player. Okay. So Edmonton gives up their first in 2024, and once again, their fifth in 2025. And I just read something here. The Anaheim Ducks now have three first-round picks in the 2024 draft. Three first-round picks. That's a lot of first-round picks. Yeah. While we wait for more deals to come down, it's going to give me an opportunity here to ask you about the Montreal Canadiens, who, as of yet, have not made a trade. And I'm going to tell you right now, at the time of this recording, it is currently right now 2:54 p.m. All right, okay? And the Canadiens have not made a deal yet. And by the way, if they do make a deal, I'm going to come back tonight. Or I'm going to, I don't know. We're going to probably end it right here, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to jump in live or whatever. But anyway.
Okay. I'll tell you what, at 10 o'clock, if that happens, I'll come and join you.
Okay.
I'm giving you I'm just letting you know I'm an option for you. I mean, I'm in the studios tonight doing some stuff, but yeah. To find 15 minutes or so for a Montreal Canadiens, we can do that. We're here to give back to the fans.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much. So now, with everything that's going on here today thus far, and you think of the Montreal Canadiens and their team, and the Canadiens obviously want to be sellers and they want to add assets. And is there a fit for one of their players somewhere in particular?
Well, okay, we already know what a fantastic trade. Back to win-win, you know, Winnipeg and Montreal made with the Sean Monahan deal. It fit exactly what Montreal's needs were. It's fit perfectly for what the Winnipeg Jets were looking for. I'm hearing a lot of discussion about Kovacevic, a right-shot defenseman. Teams, you know, one of the things we always hear, the phrase will never not be used at trade deadline. Teams looking for depth defensemen. And so, Jonathan, right now, we look at where the Montreal Canadiens are, you know, like a plethora of defenders on their team now in the organization, prospects. I'm hearing that there's a lot of interest in Kovacevic. So that would certainly, you know, fit a lot of different areas. Teams that might not have to pay as much in terms of acquisition cost, and fits in salary wise. I'm a big believer. I said it the other night on broadcast on SportsCenter. And I'm not saying these guys are available, but if I'm a team and I'm looking to strengthen my blue line on the right side, I'm phoning Montreal on David Savard. I'm phoning the Seattle Kraken on Adam Larson. I'm inquiring. I want to know what it'll take. And so, in my view, those two defenders, those types of defenders, if not those two guys specifically, they are what I call team blue line boosters. They help your team in the playoffs. They help your team do exactly what you're trying to do. David Savard has already proven it. He's already proven it winning a Stanley Cup. And so that I mentioned Kovacevic. I mentioned, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Yoel Armia. Yoel Armia has played very, very well. So if you're looking for a big body winger, I know he's got term left on his contract. What does that mean? Those are the three players right now that to answer your question, Tony, that I and Jake Allen. I'm keeping Jake Allen to the side here on purpose. I mean, there has to be teams interested in Jake Allen, of that I have no doubt. But the three skaters are the guys that I would talk that where I'm at.
All right. Okay. You know, you talked about Kovacevic. His name has come up, and it's interesting because he was a healthy scratch this week. And, you know, you wonder, like, if you really want to trade a player, do you make him a healthy scratch? And teams have in the past, who obviously probably have a deal that's imminent. They say, okay, we don't want the player to get hurt. And the other team ends up asking. I don't think that was the case for Kovacevic, right? Now, I don't think the management team are the presidents of the Jonathan Kovacevic fan club as much as they are other players that they may have on the blue line. Okay. So I do believe he's expendable, and I do not believe that he's going to be here more than another year or so. Having said that, a mid 20-year-old defenseman who's anywhere between 6'4 and 6'5, who's on a contract that's less than $1 million, who's playing right-handed defense, who's got a couple of years under his belt and has established a pretty nice experience in the National Hockey League, who doesn't make a lot of money once again, but his ceiling is probably not very high. And I hope for him that it is, but it's probably not very high. And if it's not very high, that player is never really going to make a lot of money. Doesn't every team need a player like that on their third pairing that doesn't make a lot of money and has these tools?
Can I add one thing? So, yes.
Please do.
Yeah, an emphatic yes, and I'll add one thing. And teams that are right near the cap need that player more than anybody else. because you need contributing players to play on contracts that are really reasonable in those spots on your team, because you're paying so much on the other players in front of them. So it's an emphatic yes, Tony, and teams that are at the cap or very near the cap.
Have you ever played Rummy 101? I would imagine. Rummy, have you played a game of Rummy before?
Yeah.
Cards? Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You're out at 101, you're in at 100, right? If you've already paid like 90 points and there's another hand, like, you have to start keeping some low cards, right? So that you can be under the cap. And Jonathan Kovacevic is one of those low cards that'll keep you under the cap. So once again, we know he's not the greatest defenseman and we know he's not the worst, but it's interesting because it seems like a lot of people want to trade him. And I've even talked about it at times, but he would be ideal on a third pairing. And right-handed defensemen who are big like that and come under $1 million, they don't grow on trees. They really don't.
Well, you're right. They have value all like in and of themselves, right? In and of themselves for the role they play, the dollars they get. And Tony, I'm going to be very straightforward and honest with you here. I am using your Rummy 101 analogy on Friday. I am using that. So I don't know if I'm going to give you credit or I'm going to take it for myself, but I'm using it. So be prepared.
Thank you for telling me. Give me a, hey, listen, I'm honored, by the way. I'm honored. And by the way, I've never said that before in my life. It's just when we were thinking about being under the cap in a cap world, it's the first thing that came to mind, because I've taken a liking to cards over the last little while. But it's another story for another day. Especially Texas Hold'em, to the point where I even took an online course yesterday with my free time. I got a lot of free time. I took an online course yesterday. So I'm always thinking cards now.
So here's the beautiful thing. You know, we were talking at the outset of this sick podcast with Tony Marinaro, and you said, well, geez, all these trades happen. What are we going to talk about? Here you are, right off the top of your head, Rummy 101. Like, you know, you're talking about Texas Hold'em. You're taking online courses. You'll have more than enough things to talk about, Tony. That I am convinced of.
All right. Okay. So there we go.
Here we go.
Let's talk cards now, I guess, right?
We got to pull up the playground banner again, though. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. We got the playground banner. Did you say Blushing Brides were playing there? I saw the Blushing Brides back in the day. It's unbelievable. Oh, really? I had the flash. Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
By the way, I heard they're great. I heard they're great because Aniello back at Master Control, he's seen them play many times. He told me they're great. Yep. So, I mean, I look forward to it. I'm going to go in and watch them. All right. Okay.
Yeah, go watch. They were good. Like I said, that's a long time ago, but it's great to hear they're still kicking around playing music.
Who would you say, let me bring this up here. I saw this earlier today as well. In terms of goals scored in the National Hockey League, in terms of players, who would you say are the top two players that have scored the most goals in their last 15 games? Top two players in the NHL scored the most goals in their last 15 games.
In the last 15 games?
Yeah.
Geez, who would be? I'm trying to get my head together on this.
Are you in Toronto right now, or where are you right now?
I am. Well, I'm in Toronto. I would say Austin Matthews is a defaulted. Like, that's an easy one, isn't it?
That's it. I was going to say one very close to you right now, and that's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm trying to think who would be the other player that would have scored so many goals.
You're a big fan of his. You're a big fan of his and always believed in his potential.
Well, you got to tell me now because there's a lot of players I believe.
Shane, if we can. There you have it.
Oh, there we go. Austin Matthews has scored more goals
in his last 15 games than Nick Suzuki, who's got 13.
Nick Suzuki, yes.
Did you see that? You can take that down.
How good was that last night?
My God, that shot last night was unbelievable. That was like a Steven Stamkos shot.
You know, it was amazing. I was watching the game, and, you know, it's going back and forth, and then that high stick by McCarron. And you got to realize that McCarron's like 6 foot six. So that's how high the puck was for that goal to be disallowed. Right call. They were quick on it right away and everything. But what was that? Montreal's 36 one-goal game, most in the NHL. Dallas is number two, I believe.
I believe so.
And we talk about Nick. I mean, you know I love Nick, and I think he's such a really important, valuable player to a team. But the growth for the Montreal Canadiens this year can't just be measured in wins and points. They have taken measurable steps forward in terms of being competitive, being in games, staying in games, finding a way to win some games, maybe that they shouldn't have, being on the wrong side, should have won. I think that those are really important progressive steps for the Montreal Canadiens and for their young players. And now, as we've talked about on previous episodes, it's important for Kent, Hughes, and the group now to help this team continue to push forward with that. What you don't want to have happen, and I'm going to bring this up on purpose, the New Jersey Devils last year had 112 points.
Yeah.
And they have had a 180-degree turn. Injuries played a part in that with Hughes and Hischier and Hamilton, but they let Ryan Graves go. They let Damon Severson go. They were putting younger defenders in there, and they never addressed their goaltending issue. They never addressed it. And now that team, with steps forward last year, winning the first round against the Rangers, have fallen back significantly. And that's where, you know, where the next, what I would call the next demarcation line is for Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens. How to keep this moving forward. It's really, you can't rest on your young players, your prospects, your draft picks. And okay, we made, you got to continue that forward. That is the mandate from where I sit.
Okay. So I love that you were going with the goal that McCarron scored that was disallowed. You know what seemed to be even more amazing to me out of all of that? And by the way, I don't know this for a fact, but it just looked this way watching it on television. I think Nick Suzuki is the one who told Marty St. Louis that was a high stick. Did you guys see that? St. Louis there, and he's talking to his coaching staff, and he brings over the referee, and then all of a sudden Suzuki turns around and says something. Marty St. Louis says, what, Nick? And Suzuki starts talking. He's going back and forth with St. Louis. And then all of a sudden, St. Louis, once again, I don't know this for a fact, but it looks that way. And Lord knows that this guy is smart enough to see everything from the bench. He would have, you know, this guy's got eyes behind his head so he can see, you know, what's going on in front of the net from the bench. But wouldn't that be something, if the confirmation comes out that it's Suzuki, wouldn't it be something that a player on the bench is calling the high stick on the ice and saying, we got to challenge that? That's how smart. And if it wasn't Suzuki, I still think he's that smart. Okay. But yeah, if it was him, well, then amazing.
Well, you know, you're sitting on the bench, right? Like, so you're any player, you can stay attuned to the game. I can show you my scouting notes from years ago on Nick Suzuki, and this is the term that I've used with Nick Suzuki for years, and it still applies. He has 360-degree awareness. Now what I'm going to add to that, he has 360-degree awareness on and off the ice. he's wired in. He's dialed into what's going on in the game at all times. That's one of the special qualities of many special qualities that Nick Suzuki possesses.
Yeah, and once again, last night was that game winner, was his goal number 100 in his career, and it just seems like yesterday where he scored his first NHL goal, so it's pretty amazing. All right, okay, once again, you know, this was taped earlier in the day because of work obligations, but Craig was saying that should the Montreal Canadiens make a deal and I want to come back on, I'll come back on, and he'll join us for like 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it is. So that's the way it's going to be, all right? So I'll... you know, but part of me hopes the Canadians don't make a trade so I can spend time in my spa tonight. But another part of me is I'll be back with pleasure if the Montreal Canadians do make a deal. We never want to shortchange those who are watching us. We're going to give them exactly what they wanted and what they asked for, and we're going to be here for them.
Well, and I think that, you know, being in your spa would be nice. I just want to let you know that if something does happen, I'll be there for you. And you know what? We need to start a social media tagline for Le Scooper, because this has become really significant for the sick podcast with Tony Marinaro. Yeah.
So I am going to PVR NHL trade deadline day on Friday on TSN. I'm going to wait for the rummy line, and I'll cross my fingers if we get some credit. And if we do, we're probably going to have to patent that line and maybe get paid a royalty. Like every time, was it Buffer says, let's get ready to rumble. How much do they give him? $100,000? Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what. When I do it, I'll give you the exact time I did it, so you won't have to go through your whole PVR show.
Thank you very much, Craig Button. You have a great rest of the day and a great night. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers, my man.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right. Once again, special thanks to all of our sponsors and our partners, of course, Energy Transportation Group, as well as Playground, as well as Labitta TB, as well as Accent Insurance Solutions, and as well as Manscaped.com with their Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. 5.0 Ultra, that is. Special thanks to Shane Gaumont back at Master Control for making the trades come in and all that stuff. We really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow night. We will be live right after the Canadians and the Hurricanes at 10 p.m. Eastern, and I will be back again on Friday at 10 p.m. to recap all the trades in the National Hockey League. So I'm not going to take that one off. I'll be back. Thank you so much. Leave us a five-star review on Apple. It's our way of feeling the love for Agnello, Sammy, and Juliana at Master Control, recording one podcast right now, and Shane Gaumont at this Master Control, recording the other. I'm Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.